Peace, it is said, is not the inexistence of war or being cowed into being submissive to greedy autocrats, but rather it is living in a world where everyone is given a fair chance at home, at work, and generally in society. As Cameroon recently joined the world in celebrating World Peace Day under the theme Dignity for All, Partnerships for Peace, one can't help but wonder what dignity and peace one could find or feel in a society where the elderly won't give the youth a chance to take the helm, despite the fact that they have had their own chances. How does a society develop when even the roads, which is a major road to development, are terrible? But taxes keep being increased or introduced every day. It is not just about development itself, because if we are advised every day to practice safe sex, fidelity or abstinence, and we do not listen, only to bring forth children into the world, we most often go through their lives stigmatized. Why not better be saved than sorry? Because no matter how many treatment centers we create, we can still prevent the problem from the onset. They say, it is better to make peace at the beginning rather than trying to solve trouble at the end. This is News Extra on Foundation Radio. The Foundation Radio News Extra team welcomes you to another week of news, interviews, commentaries, and analysis put together by the entire crew. On behalf of the crew and for presentation, I am Priscilla Ninge. We begin this edition of the program with an update of what made news this week. Lanza Vela tells us in the following week in retrospect.
Some police officers who foiled attempts by hoodlums to plant explosives in Bamenda during celebrations marking the National Day of Cameroon on May 20 benefited from a promotion by the head of state, Paul Biya. They were awarded epaulets by the Delegate General for National Security, Martin Bargangele, in recognition for their bravery. A roundtable discussion on the importance of the media in promoting peace, security and development was organized in Bamenda by the Community Initiative for Sustainable Development, COMINSUD. The major objective of the conference was to educate media personnel on how to broadcast and publish information that wouldn't incite violence. Still within the region, the Pediatric HIV Center for the Northwest Region was launched during the week. The launching ceremony was presided at by the Northwest Regional Delegate of Public Health, Dr. Manjo von Matilda, and brought together officials of the project initiators, Elizabeth Glazer Pediatric AIDS Foundation, district medical officers, and some community-based organization. Nationally, over 300 known commissioned gendarmerie officers were warned against strikes and protests. The warning was sounded by the Secretary of State for the National Gendarmerie, Jean-Baptiste Bocam, while presiding over the graduation ceremony of these officers in Yaoundé. It was also disclosed that senior military officials who embezzled allowances meant for soldiers fighting the Boko Haram would henceforth be tried in military courts. Defense Minister Edgar Lemme Bengo sounded the warning while on a visit to the far north region. On a sad note, five persons died in Mora after Boko Haram staged a double suicide attack. Two of the three suicide bombers detonated their explosives as they were compelled to checks by a police officer who himself died in the course of the operation. Meanwhile, 15 highway robbers in the East region were killed by elements of the gendarmerie. They were killed in a shootout they provoked in a hideout. Moreover, a recent prime ministerial order banned the sale of subscriber identification module, commonly known as SIM cards, on the streets. According to Philemon Yang, telephone companies in the country can no longer sell and identify subscribers on the streets. The PM's order also stipulates that no individual would be allowed to own more than 3 SIM cards per telephone operator. And out of the country, at least 700 people taking part in the Hajj pilgrimage died in a stampede near the Islamic holy city of Mecca. According to Saudi Arabian authorities, about 850 others were injured in the incident at Mina. The stampede occurred during the symbolic stoning of the devil ritual. Burkina Faso's interim president, Michel Kafando, was formally reinstated a week after a military takeover. Several West African leaders attended the ceremony in the capital, Ouagadougou. And in sports, the Fecafoot Normalization Committee retained 2 out of 7 candidates who applied to contest for the position of president of Fecafoot. The duel for September 28, when the elections take place, was going to be between Tombi Aroko Siddiqui and Atta Robert. And Indomitable Lions head coach Volker Finke published a list of 25 players shortlisted for a friendly match against the Super Eagles of Nigeria in Belgium next month. Besides the regulars are 2 newcomers, Siani Sebastian, who has been called for the first time, and Fire Collins, who hails from Kumbo in the Northwest region and plays for Dinamo Bucharest. Those were some of the major stories that made news during the week. Back to you, Priscilla Ninge, Ndayo.
Thank you, Lanza Vela, for that update on what made news this week. And it is good to know that people who embezzle money meant for good deeds do get fished out and punished. Cameroon, in the present state of war, needs the collaboration of all stakeholders to play their part to see that peace is reinstated in this our beloved fatherland. That is why government organizations and individuals would not want to miss any avenue they could use in preaching peace to the citizens. This time, it was the turn of the Community Initiative for Sustainable Development, COMISUD, that brought together media men and women last Wednesday, 23rd of September 2015, in what it terms Media Roundtable on the Culture of Promoting Peace. Athanasius Atanga was our man on that beat and now reports.
The world is presently facing a global threat to its peace from terrorists, rebel groups, dictators in the name of president, prime ministers, queens, and kings. On a smaller scale, there are frequent intertribal wars and conflicts which distort peace and unity at a time when the world is becoming a global village. The importance of peace cannot be overemphasized in the domains of development and human interaction. The peace which the world is in dire need of is that which organizations, governments, and individuals have been clamoring for since the end of the Second World War. Somebody may be tempted to ask if peace is actually the absence of war. The answer in this situation is yes, with no fear of contradiction. Internal, individual, and personal conflicts could be solved in a split of a second, while interregional, tribal, and country conflicts can take centuries to be resolved. In order to maintain peace and unity in the human race, all stakeholders have to put hand on deck and work hand in glove to ensure that our country, Cameroon, should go back to its normal, peaceful, and serene state. Nobody can openly say Cameroon is not in a state of war with all the frequent attacks on its northern regions by the Islamic State Boko Haram. It is against this backdrop that the Community Initiative for Sustainable Development, COMISUD, last Wednesday, September 23, 2015, organized a media roundtable on the culture of promoting peace. The conference, which brought together media men and women, was holding at the time the world was commemorating the World Peace Day on September 21st, 2015. The Civil Peace Service Program of COMISUD, an initiative that promotes the culture of peace and justice as a vital prerequisite for human, community, and environmental development, therefore saw the importance of the media in conflict resolution. That's why the media men and women were drilled on how to manage news which could lead to conflict. The journalists, according to the facilitators, should report objectively with facts that could promote peace instead of war. The media, being the fourth arm of the government, has the ability to either unite or separate depending on how the journalists report the story or happenings. Journalists were called upon to report without bias related to political or social leanings. The facilitators maintained that Cameroon, in a state of war, needs the media now ever than before. Therefore, the media should play the lead role in promoting peace and social justice. Mr. Fonso is the coordinator of Komisut. He now explains the reasons behind this media roundtable on culture of promoting peace.
So our motivation is that if we can link, if we can partnership with the media, so that the media talk about the culture of peace, it will change things across our region. Our peace message for this year is that the media people should contribute also in promoting peace in their media. To promote peace will require that the language they use, the focus of their messages, verifying facts, promote more harmony. In this World Peace Day, we are saying that conflict is not avoidable, but violence is avoidable. Fighting is expensive. Peace is priceless. Never and never again should we use violence to solve problems. We should use non-violent means to solve differences.
Some participants also gave their own appreciations and take-home messages from the conference.
The seminar has given me the opportunity to learn many things that I didn't know. For instance, the report presented by the Civil Peace Service. That report is very rich, it is very balanced. It has not only pointed out the necessity for peace, but it has also recommended that justice is an inevitable ingredient if we want peace.
I want to commend Komisut for this very, very inspiring roundtable for media practitioners in the Northwest. In fact, it's been a wonderful moment sharing experiences with other media practitioners, especially on how to promote the culture of peace in our various media houses. I, for one, especially in my media house, I'm going back very enriched in order to make sure that I come out with very constructive programs on peace that can encourage a culture of peace. Peace is something that is priceless, and it's something that we should promote in our various communities.
The conference was held under the theme Dignity for All, Partnerships for Peace.
Athanasius Atanga in that report. After the seminar, we caught up with Reverend Mokokombwe Thomas, the National Communications Secretary of the Presbyterian Church in Cameroon, who explains the involvement of the Presbyterian Church in the move for the fight for peace.
I am Reverend Mokokombwe Thomas, the National Communications Secretary of the Presbyterian Church in Cameroon. And in the course of the workshop today, I was talking about the Civil Peace Service work in the Presbyterian Church in Cameroon, and specifically what is going on our radio in Boya, the Christian Broadcasting Service radio, how we are integrating peace work in our programs in the radio to be able to reach out to the community for transformation.
What inspired this move to want to have this peace incorporated into your programs in the radio?
Well, the radio, like the other means of communication, is one of the mass media in Cameroon. Statistics show that a larger population of our country listens to the radio. And if you want to reach them, it's the easiest way to reach right down to the grassroots. And we had this problem in the church to be able to form a culture of peace. Because at the level of the church, take for example as a parish pastor, you discover you spend most of your time struggling to solve family feuds, conflicts between husbands and wives, estranged children from their parents, and trying to bring in reconciliation. It doesn't end at that level. We thought it would be better for us to start building a culture of peace if we have to stem the tide. And we believe that there is violence in the world because there is no peace in individual lives. So we start from the level of building up the individual as a person to find peace within you. Then can we have peace in the home, then in the community, then in the nation. And we insist that the absence of justice is a fertile ground for instability. There can be there's positive peace and negative peace. Where there is no justice and there is no war, there is negative peace. But then where there is justice and there is no war, that is positive peace.
So do you have it in every region in the country or just the Southwest and the Northwest?
The program originally was launched under the Youth Department of the Church. And the Youth Department is nationwide. We have youth groups in all our congregations and our church is represented in all the 10 regions in Cameroon. And so the program officer in charge worked with all the youth groups in the whole nation. Now the program is taking a different focus. That is the program of peace building project. It's taking a different focus that the new program now is going to work with all the movements. That is with all the men of the church, all the women of the church, and all the youth of the church. So it has a broader base. And it cuts across all departments. Take for example, we have the lay training and evangelism department. So in the training of the lay persons, we have to include issues of peace building. Then the other part of the radio, we are working on a project to begin another radio here in Bamenda shortly, hopefully by next year. And it's going to be integrated in that program also, in our programs on CBS Radio in Bamenda, that peace is going to be a cross-cutting theme on our issues on the radio. So our programs go nationwide.
Any impact?
We've had a lot of positive feedback, especially for the first phase of the program with the youths. We had lots of positive feedback in how the youth have been trained to be able to handle conflicts even amongst themselves. Because even how you manage a group of youths without a knowledge of peace building is difficult to handle them. But with that knowledge, we have better management of the groups. There are fewer conflicts stemming up even amongst families at the level of the children because we have trained the young people in how to manage conflict.
Okay, your take-home message for this World Peace Day to all youths, adults?
Peace is an inestimable commodity that we should do everything possible to maintain, to sustain and to keep. And that whatever happens, who am I or who I can be is dependent on what peace I have in my life and in my community.
Reverend Mokokomboy Thomas talking on the occasion of commemorative activities for the World Peace Day. The president of the Nigerian Senate, Bukola Saraki, has been dragged to court to be tried for 13 criminal charges of falsifying the declaration of his assets. Christopher Fogwe is amazed by this turn of events in which the two topmost leaders of Africa's most powerful nation have taken the initiative to disclose their assets. He wonders whether other African leaders will follow their examples and demonstrate their constitutional obligation. Here's his report.
The remarkable presidential election that brought Muhammadu Buhari to power in Nigeria this year was iconic, not only for being free, fair, and transparent, but also as a unique election in which an African incumbent president was ousted by a contender. Also unprecedented and still in Buhari's Nigeria was what happened on the 22nd of September when the president of the Nigerian Senate, Bukola Saraki, appeared in a packed court to be tried for 13 criminal charges of false declaration of assets. Nigeria is not the only country in Africa with constitutional obligations on its top-level officials to declare their assets. The recent well-publicized declaration by President Buhari of his assets placed him on a special pedestal of integrity and rectitude that puts to shame his contemporaries who only pay lip service to their constitutional obligations to declare their own assets. The very fact of dragging a president of the Senate, considered as a sacred cow in most African countries, is ample proof not only that Nigeria is making progress towards becoming a nation in which nobody is above the law, but also in which strong institutions are superseding strong men. What is also highly commendable in the Nigerian constitution is the extent to which it imposes healthy checks and balances, autonomy and independence on the relationship between the executive, the judiciary, and the legislature. Malam Garba Shehu, who is Buhari's special assistant on media and publicity, has debunked any claims that Buhari might be manipulating the judicial process in the Saraki matter by insisting that even though President Buhari is determined to rigorously fight corruption, he has also vowed to defend and respect the Nigerian constitution, which does not allow him to interfere with the due process of the law as it takes its course in the law courts. If only more African leaders would faithfully and rigorously defend, uphold, and respect the tenets of their national constitutions and work for the common good of the people rather than for their self-aggrandizement, then Africa would be a much better continent in which the young would prosper and enjoy living in rather than fleeing from in their thousands to go elsewhere. Such an Africa will also be one whose presidents would not be afraid to declare their assets or inclined to falsify them.
Christopher Fogwe in that report. The Hethitho limping civil status registry in Cameroon might soon be credible owing to a rehabilitation program initiated by government with support from France. News Extra's Lanza Vela took keen interest in the program and in the following paper speculates the changes the overhauling process might trigger.
The not-too-trusted civil status registry in Cameroon might soon be raised to international standards and rendered more solid and credible. It is for this reason that a national training seminar for personnel of the civil status registries was launched on September 21 by the Minister of Territorial Administration and Decentralization, René Emmanuel Sadi. This nationwide operation aimed at modernizing the system should be able to correct inadequacies of the present civil status system, such as insufficient qualified personnel, documentation errors, irregular supply of civil status registers, and poor conservation of archives, as well as population indifference towards civil status services. The complete overhauling of the civil status system, according to officials, is conducted through a methodical approach that began with the collection of useful data and information, the legal and institutional reforms, the sensitization and training of actors, the execution of the project and supply of materials, and the eventual computerization of civil status data. But how the computerization of the civil status data will help check fraud is what many people question, especially with reference to our national identity cards, which are said to be computerized. But it was recently disclosed that thousands of our national identity cards were offered to Boko Haram militants by officials of the French company Thales Systems, formerly responsible for the production of ID cards in Cameroon. Some Cameroonians rather feel that government would have synchronized this rehabilitation exercise with a campaign to track down producers of fake civil status certificates in Cameroon who apparently are in great numbers. But then, the most interesting part of this overhauling process is the fact that there might be an integration of civil churches into school programs at all levels. Maybe this would enable them contribute in the struggle of sensitizing parents to the need of getting some of these civil status documents, especially for their children, and not only wait until when these children have to go in for public exams. This rehabilitation process also is estimated at some 7 billion CFA francs, with France contributing 1.23 billion of the amount. And as French Ambassador Christine Robichon says, this is aimed at improving the quality and reliability of the Cameroon civil status system, which is a conditional sine qua non for democracy. Let's hope it works.
Lanza Vela. And let's hope it works indeed. With constant attempts to curb the Boko Haram insurgency and insecurity in the country, government has come up with a decree to ban the sales of SIM cards on the street. Though this decree and policy will pose a problem to sales agents, subscribers, and even telephone companies, it might be the best solution to our safety and security. Let's get more from Lem Sandra from Moja.
Going by the Prime Ministerial order, retailers of mobile telephony services in the country can no longer sell and identify subscribers on the streets. Subscribers will henceforth have to obtain SIM cards and identify themselves at the various service centers of the different mobile telephone operators. With the ban of haphazard sale of subscriber identification model SIM cards on the streets, the Prime Ministers also stipulate that no individual will be allowed to own more than 3 SIM cards per telephone operator. But in case where a subscriber would like to have more than 3 SIM cards, he or she will be expected to obtain permission from the operator with concrete justifications for the request. In addition, subscribers will be expected to be physically present with an original copy of their valid identification cards, exact address, and plan of residence at the time of identification. The order further compels mobile telephone operators to activate SIM cards only upon presentation of complete documents and immediately deactivate SIM when such documents expire. They are equally expected to safely keep all information gathered on computers. Subscribers' information will be forwarded to the Telecommunications Regulatory Agency, the ART. Mobile operators are called upon to ensure the confidentiality and integrity of the information provided to them, and as such, these mobile operators must deactivate the accounts of subscribers once they declare their mobile devices have been stolen. All these observations and strict warnings are major efforts to check the activities of the extremist Islamic sect, the Boko Haram. This is a great move by government, as it is to a great extent will reduce criminality in the country. Speaking to one of the agents, he supported the idea and had this to say.
I am Elvis, an agent, MTN agent, selling SIMs, doing other promotions like mobile money, SIM selling. Actually, I heard what the minister said over the radio. He has banned all the communications that is Nextel, MTN, Orange to stop selling SIM cards. Actually, yeah, I would say that, yeah, they should have to stop it for a moment, because all the agents now, you see, they do some type of activations that I don't understand. They identify customers. A customer will come that he or she needs a SIM. They will just give a SIM that has been identified. So that causes a lot of criminal acts in the country.
On the other hand, however, the ban of SIMs by the roadside has automatically rendered so many youths jobless, since they made a livelihood out of these sales. Get some reactions.
From the day they told us not to sell along the street, you see that most of us, you know, this is holiday period, and that was when some of us were trying to arrest some money for our well-being. And then you discover that even this period that we don't sell SIM cards, because at the end of the month we have a target of 280 SIMs. So within this period that we don't sell, you discover that we will not realize our targets. And you know, if you don't realize that target, your salary that they will pay you, it will not be to your expectations. Because at the end of, if you realize the your target, the 280 SIMs, you know that you have made something, and at the end of the month, you'll be realizing enough money as your salary. Now, within this period that we don't sell SIM, many of us, we just roam about, we don't have anything doing. And then, if like, I even learned that if they catch you selling SIM again, you know that you're a prisoner. So we don't sell SIM anymore, and this has affected us very much.
Some of us are stranded because at least MTN tries to support the youth now to employ them. Now it's going to cause us a lot of unemployment.
Conclusively, therefore, though a bitter pill to swallow by these sales agents and some subscribers, and given that it is an attempt by government to curb crime and to save the entire nation, then we have no choice but to accept it.
Lem Sandra Formojang. Let us show, not merely in great crisis, but in everyday affairs of life, qualities of practical intelligence, of hardihood and endurance, and above all, the power of devotion to peace and great ideals. For chances favors only the prepared minds.
There are people who can walk away from you, and hear me when I tell you this. When people can walk away from you, let them walk. I don't want you to try to walk another person into staying with you, loving you, calling you, caring about you, coming to see you, staying attached to you. I mean, hang up the phone. When people can walk away from you, let them walk. Your destiny is never tied to anybody that left. The Bible said that they came out from us, that it might be made manifest that they were not for us. For had they been of us, no doubt they would have continued with us. People leave because they are not joined to you. And if they are not joined to you, you can't make them stay. Let them go. And it doesn't mean that they are a bad person. It just means that their part in the story is over. And you've got to know when people's part in your story is over so that you don't keep trying to raise the dead. You've got to know when it's dead. You've got to know when it's over. Let me tell you something. I've got the gift of goodbye. It's the 10th spiritual gift. I believe in goodbye. It's not that I'm hateful. It's that I'm faithful. And I know whatever God means for me to have, He'll give it to me. And if it takes too much sweat, I don't need it. Stop begging people to stay. Let them go. If you're holding onto something that doesn't belong to you and was never intended for your life, then you need to let it go. If you're holding onto past hurts and pains, let it go. If someone can't treat you right, love you back, and see your worth, let it go. If someone has angered you, let it go. If you're holding on to some thoughts of evil and revenge, let it go. If you're involved in a wrong relationship or addiction, let it go. If you're holding on to a job that no longer meets your needs or talents, let it go. If you have a bad attitude, yourself feel, let go. If you're stuck in the past and God is trying to take you to a new level in Him, let it go. If you're struggling with the healing of a broken relationship, let it go. If you keep trying to help people who won't even try to help themselves, let it go. If you're feeling depressed and stressed, let it go. If there is a particular situation that you are so used to handling yourself and God is saying, take your hands off it, then you need to let it go. Let the past be the past. Forget the former things. God is doing a new thing for you. let it go. Get right, get left. Think about it and then let it go. The battle is the Lord's. Next, stop and think and appreciate God's power in your life for doing what you know is pleasing to Him. Yes, I love my God. He is my fountain of life and my Savior. He keeps me going day and night. Without Him, I am no one. But with Him, I can do everything. Christ is my strength. This is a simple test. If you love God and you are not ashamed of all the great things that He has done for you, send this to everyone you know. God loves you and watches over you every day.
You're welcome back. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to News Extra on Foundation Radio, My 6 Mankon in Bamenda. On Friday, 11 September 2015, the Minister of Public Works, Patrice Ambassala, signed a partnership agreement with mayors from the Southwest, West, Northwest, and Littoral regions aimed at establishing working relationships in which the ministry will provide some of the technical resources councils require in the construction of structures and the execution of road maintenance projects. The partnership agreement is intended to fall within the global framework to consolidate the decentralization process underway in the country. Christopher Fogwe wonders where the Ministry of Public Works had withdrawn to before being re-engaged to play their natural role with councils in the construction and maintenance of road infrastructure. Here is his report.
On Friday, the 11th of September 2015, the Minister of Public Works, Patrice Ambassala, signed a partnership agreement mandating his ministry to, in the minister's own words, provide councils with the technical and financial resources needed to exercise transferred to them by the state in the field of road maintenance, the construction of structures, and the execution of pending works on the national networks. The minister also revealed that since 2012, the Ministry of Public Works had organized inter-regional seminars to build the capacity of mayors and officials of the external services of the ministry on the management of competencies transferred in the field of road maintenance. The minister emphasized that it is because of the importance of roads that the head of state decided to increase the financial resources allocated to councils for road maintenance projects from the original 13 million last year to 28 million in 2015. A number of questions arise from the signing of this partnership agreement. Was it because the degree of road degradation in some regions had become so horrible in 2015 that the president felt the need to order the Minister of Public Works to reactivate its external services and liaise with municipal councils in a bid to show proof that the hinterland councils also matter in Cameroon? Some of the listeners to this program are old enough to recall that the once upon a time PWD was better known as the Department of Civil Engineers and Heavy Duty Equipment for Infrastructural Transformation and for Year-Round Road Rehabilitation. Despite the limited means and resources at their disposal at the time, they managed to make their presence felt in all of the divisions. The situation has now changed so drastically, and the services of the current Ministry of Public Works have become so remote that the President has had to arrange for the signing of a partnership agreement for his Ministry of Public Works to link up and work in tandem with the municipal councils to take care of township and rural roads, as was the case once upon a time. Let's wait and see how the new arrangements will pan out on the state of the roads of Bamenda and its satellite councils in the years ahead. Let's also hope that the municipal authorities will no longer indulge in passing the buck by shifting the blame for bad roads on the Ministry of Urban Affairs and Town Planning, as they did last year and this year. The new dispensation now puts the yam and the knife squarely in their hands.
Christopher Fogwe in that report, and indeed we need roads for development to follow. The letters you sent on this edition of the program shall be read in a moment. Lem Sandra Famujang opens our mailbox and begins with this first letter, in which Cyril Brenda of My Aid advised people not to walk in the rain because of the danger posed by lightning.
Hello, News Extra crew of Foundation Radio. I write to give caution to all, especially with the kind of weather we have now. It rains widely and, worst of all, accompanied with so much lightning and thunderstorms. I am advising everyone to be careful at this moment and stay indoors while it is rainy. Avoid moving under the rains, and better still, do not allow electrical appliances on while it is raining. We obviously know the consequences of doing this. Let us watch out.
In letter number 2, Samantha Foji of Pinyin expresses her worry over the insecurity in Cameroon.
Hi, staff of Foundation Radio and all listeners. I am so bothered about the insecurity situation in the town, and that's why I write. Our country is facing a crisis now with this insurgent group called the Boko Haram, and given the efforts the forces of law and order are putting in to curb this problem, some individuals and maybe groups have taken it upon themselves to show their negative colors. The rate of robbery and crime have increased, as so many persons now complain of being robbed of one thing or the other. We should be very careful and take various measures of not being victims to such bad circumstances, especially not keeping late nights.
Letter 3 is from Jude Bansa of Bafut, who is advising everyone to stay off roadside drugs, for the consequences are dangerous.
Greetings to you all. I am happy that I have this opportunity to write. I want to pass an advice to all those who buy and consume roadside drugs. Please, I am saying this out of a terrible experience I had consuming these drugs. All these drugs are so fake, and they cause more harm than good to our systems. Please stop buying roadside drugs. Go to the hospitals and pharmacies and get the right drugs.
Those were the letters we had on this edition of the program. We encourage you to keep writing, keeping your letters short and straight to the concerns you're raising, without insult to others. You can write to us via email on radio.foundation@yahoo.com or drop your letter at Foundation Radio, My 6 Mankon Bamenda, and your concerns shall be read on the air. Athanasius Atanga took time out to go through what made news in the print media this week. He tells us in the following press review.
The Guardian Post newspaper, in its Wednesday's edition, captions on page 2, fireworks feared in Mezam 1. According to the paper, the upcoming reorganization of the CPTM basic organs in Mezam 1, Bamenda, is expected to be a hot one. This fear has been fueled by the caliber and number of candidates who have so far declared their intentions to vie for the presidency in Mezam 1A, Mezam 1B, and Mezam 1C. The Mezam 1 section, which was just recently split into three, has an incumbent president, Minister Atangan Jipol, who doubles as the permanent secretary at the National Security Council. The paper takes a look at the SCNC that has unveiled 15 unpardonable sins committed against Anglophones. The paper reports that Southern Cameroon's National Council NCNC Vice National Chairman Mfong Galamfo has, in an open letter to Anglophone political leaders and elites, unveiled what he has qualified as 15 unpardonable sins committed against their compatriots by La République du Cameroun. The paper goes further to outline some of the sins the NCNC considers unforgivable. Aiden newspaper carries this story about some Cameroonian girls who may finally be brought home from Kuwait. The paper titles it Stranded Bushfaller Girls in Kuwait Coming Home. According to the paper, the government, in collaboration with some civil society organizations, have begun negotiating for Cameroonian girls that were illegally trafficked to Kuwait to come home in the nearest future. Mabanda to finally host HTTTC, Kumba. Aiden newspaper says the governor of the Southwest region, Bernard Okala Bilai, has finally put an end to the land in Breglu that has been going in Kumba over the choice and location of the site to host the recently created Higher Technical Teachers Training College, Kumba, by stating in clear terms that Mabanda, headquarters of Kumba 3 subdivision, will be the site to host the college. The Times Journal says Cameroon's agriculture will be funded with a sum of 3,355 billion francs CFE required over 5 years. According to the paper, Cameroon's Minister of Agriculture and Rural Development, Esimi Meunier, Cameroon's National Agricultural Development Plan that spans from 2014 to 2015 is robust enough to justify significant fundings and investment opportunities. The minister equally said the 1,300 billion francs CFE raised during the Yaoundé event will be used to increase the production of some crops, improve food security, modernize rural production infrastructure, improvements of funding for farmers, sustainably manage natural resources, and enhance governance and institutional development. That's all we had time for this week. On to next week for what the papers would have said.
Athanasius Atanga. To conclude the package is Lanza Vela with Sports Roundup.
Only two candidates have been retained for elections at the Cameroon Football Federation set for September 28. Atta Robert and Tombi Aroko Siddiqui and former national goalkeeper Joseph Antoine Bell will not be the next president of the country's football association. Bell has been very outspoken about problems within the Cameroonian game and was a surprise candidate for the post. But one of Africa's best goalkeepers failed to send in any documents when making his application, only a letter indicating his candidature. He told the international media that he did not intend to send any documents, given that he had sent documents in February when the elections were cancelled, which to him were valid. Meanwhile, the technical committee of the Electoral Commission addressed a letter to Bell in reply, declaring his claims as unfounded. So out of the six who applied, four were thrown out of contention, featuring two women, Bridget Mebanda and Celine Echo, also president of the Transitional Women's Football Commission. One of the aspirants, Jules Frederick Nyonga, former Cameroon national team coach, pulled out of the race before the announcement of eligible candidates. He tagged the electoral process as mired in irregularities, manipulation, fraud, the spirit of sharing the booty, presenting a pessimistic picture of another suspension looming in the horizon, stating that the period of normalization should have served as a basis to set football on the rails, so refused to be part of what he described as an opaque situation. Whatever the case, nothing stops the September 28 elections, given that the Chamber of Conciliation and Arbitration of the National Olympic and Sports Committee did not rule in favor of Abdurrahman, who had petitioned the organ contesting the constitution of delegates for the upcoming elections, who had to come from the 2009 General Assembly and not new elections to produce the delegates. So September 28 is the appointment.
It is with that sports analysis from Lanza Vela that we come to the end of this edition of News Extra. Contributions were from Lanza Vela, Lem Sandra Famujang, Athanasius Atanga, and Christopher Fogui. Technical support was provided by Walters Bayre and Julius Tendong. For presentation, I have been Priscilla Ninge. Thanking you for your attention and reminding you of another edition of the program, same time next week. Until then, stay blessed and stay tuned to other programs on Foundation Radio, the voice of the voiceless.